Last week, when Nathan talked about having a heart centered in worship, he showed a couple of videos, the same video. Some of you might have been confused that it was two different videos. It was the same video both times. And what we want to do for the rest of this series is show some different worship videos after communion to allow you to continue to have your heart centered in worship. Because that's the series we're in right now. It's called Form from the Inside Out. And we're taking a look at five different qualities, five different characteristics that we develop inside that helps our faith display itself well outside. And the first week we took a look at having a heart for others, talking about sharing our faith. Last week Nathan talked about worship. And today we're going to talk about having a heart that is anchored in love. How many of you guys have been watching the Winter Olympics? I love watching the Olympics, especially the Winter Olympics. That is, two weeks ago, when Lydia and I were in Oklahoma, we got to watch the downhill women's moguls, which is, it kills my knees just watching them go down that hill. It's crazy. We watched a little curling. You guys heard about the controversy about the one team that got caught cheating in curling, right? Really, all they did was add a little bit of excitement to an otherwise dull sport. That's all they did. But it made a big deal, made the news. It's been kind of crazy. We got to watch some of that. We got to watch a lot of other things too. But what I really enjoy most about watching the Olympics is getting to watch them at the end when they step up to the platform and they receive the bronze or the silver or the gold. They get to step up to that platform and they get to say that I'm here because I am the best of the best. But what they don't show you are all the people that are around that person when they receive that gold medal. All the ones that support them to help make them the best. They don't show you the parents and the coaches and the mentors and the friends and the trainers and the families and everybody else that plays a part, plays a role that made that person become the actual best. But there are always people that are behind those champions. You don't get to be a gold medal winner all on your own. It takes a lot. And the same thing is true of our faith. We don't grow in our faith all by ourselves. We need other people around us so that we can grow. They can help us grow, that we can help them grow, so that we can develop this inner life, so the outer life can be what it's called to be, what it's been created to be. And that's kind of the purpose behind this whole series. Let's just pray, and let's jump into what it means to be in community together. Lord, I'm thankful that you have created us in a way that is designed to reflect your Son. Paul tells us that in Romans, that we are to be conformed to the image of the Son, and that means we have to let that image be seen by others, and that means we have to have this inner life that shines outward through our actions and our words and our motives and our attitudes in so many different ways that it can be displayed, but it's rooted in the heart. And so as we talk about what it means to have that kind of heart, to allow that kind of life to be displayed, Lord, we realize that we can't do it without your help. So we ask for your presence here this morning that is evidence. We know you're here. We know the Holy Spirit is guiding us. We know the Holy Spirit is nudging us, convicting us. And I pray that you will help us to listen closely to his nudging in our lives. Whether that's this morning while we're together or later or this afternoon or this week or whenever it might be, that you push us to become more like your Son. Thanks for being here with us this morning. Help us to pay attention. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the most important aspects of our faith, living out our faith, that we probably neglect, out of all five of these, this might be the one we neglect most in our culture, is community, is this idea of connecting with others. This didn't used to always be the case. I remember as a kid, my grandparents' generation, they would sit on their front porch. They lived in Springfield, Missouri, right not too far from the Empire Fairgrounds, where the county fair is, which is a pretty big deal in Springfield. If you've ever been to that, it's huge. But they lived down the street from that, and they would sit on their porch in the evenings, and they would visit with their neighbors as they walked by, or even not neighbors, just random people they didn't even know. Just conversations as they were sitting. I remember hours and hours on that old metal You know what I'm talking about, right? If you've been around for a while, you know those pieces of porch furniture that weighed a ton, that creaked when you swung on them. My grandparents probably had about 50 layers of paint on that thing. And you could see most of them because it would get chipped and it would get worn down, and you could see all the different colors they painted over the years. I can remember sitting there and visiting with the neighbors as they walked by. I would wave. I wouldn't say much. They had all the conversation going on. I might have been 6 or 7. I don't know. Then as a culture, we stopped sitting on the front porch. We moved our activities to the backyard, built privacy fences to keep the neighbors from watching. Then when we get home, we pull our car into the garage and then shut the garage door behind us and go in the house that way. We stopped connecting, and I think when we did that, we lost something important. Because we have to build quality relationships in our life. You have to develop the habit of connecting with others. You were designed, you were wired to be in relationships. It's how you were created. You were created to be, first of all, in a relationship with God, and then second of all, in the relationship that is to be mirrored in every other relationship you have, with every other human being that you come into contact with. One time in the New Testament, Jesus was asked, can you give me the Cliff Notes version of the Old Testament? What's the greatest commandment? Summarize everything up in one commandment. All those books, all those laws, all those rules, put it all together in one statement. Just boil it down for me. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 22. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Guys, my encouragement to you is to take that passage and memorize it. Build that one into your life and stick it in your brain so that it's rooted in there. Because it's an important one. Because Jesus says, let me bring it all together for you in a very simple, simple summary statement. Love God. That's vertical. And then love one another. That's the horizontal. You are wired to love. That's how God created us. That's how we are designed. We're wired to be in relationships with one another. And when you're not, when this segment of your heart is not developed, that can be a tragedy. In fact, the Bible calls it a pity. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But pity the one who is alone when he falls and has no one else to lift him up. So if we want to be formed from the inside out, we need to develop a heart. We need to develop a passion for creating and maintaining healthy relationships with one another, the right kinds of relationships, and relationships with the right kinds of people. And frankly, this isn't really all that easy, because if it were easy, we would all do it. But I know people that have been in their 50s and 60s and 70s who have gone through life with no deep, meaningful, significant relationships. We are wired to be connected. And a lot of us, when we go to church, we go to work tomorrow, or we go to school tomorrow, we hang out in our social circles, we put on these little fronts, we put on these masks, and we pretend that we don't have a lot of needs. But here's what I know to be true about you, and I know this is true about you because it's true for every single person on the face of the planet. It's true for me as well. Here's what I know to be true. You need quality relationships. All of us, we need to be deeply committed and connected with other people, and we need to be pretty wise about who we choose to develop those relationships with. I mean, as a kid, I mean, think about it, put yourself in the shoes of a small child. At first, when you're little, when you're the littlest of littles, you look up to your parents, right? That's who you look up to. I remember one time when Jaden was probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old, I came downstairs one morning ready to go to the church, to the office, and he came downstairs wearing jeans and a plaid shirt, and he had a hat on, and he had an old laptop bag with a couple of books stuck in it that was slung over his shoulder, and he's wearing a plaid shirt now. He's still just like me. He nailed it to a T because he wanted to be like me. As we get older, we start to imitate our friends, the way they look, the way they dress, the way they talk. And eventually we start to take on their values. We begin to believe what they believe. We take on their morality. We become like those we hang around. That's why it's so crucial that when we choose relationships, we choose them wisely, because God is, He's going to be using these people to form your heart. So you've got to be intentional. You've got to be deliberate. You've got to use wisdom and choose the right kind of people. I have a quote that greets me every morning in the planning software that I use for my tasks, my appointments, projects, stuff like that. In that software, I created a recurring task. So that is the very first thing that greets me every morning when I turn on my computer and start to outline my day and get things going. It's something I reflect on, and it kind of sets the tone for the whole day. It's a quote by Wilt Chamberlain. And he said, "Everything is habit forming. So make sure what you do is what you want to be doing." Same is true for relationships. Every relationship forms you, so make sure you choose the relationships that you want to form you in the way you want to be formed. So I want to discuss this morning three different qualities to look for in those kinds of relationships, and then give us kind of some action steps that we can take to start building those relationships if you don't have any, or deepen those that you do have. So here's the first thing I see that the Scripture teaches. Look for people who will validate you. Sounds a little bit weird, and I couldn't really find another word that I liked better than that. So let me explain what I mean by validate. Look for somebody who believes in you, somebody who is in your corner. Excuse me. They are in your corner. They encourage you, but it's more than just encouragement. It's somebody who supports you and has, they've got your back, and they are somebody who is right there with you through all of that. And when somebody sees something in you that you don't see in yourself, they're the one that's going to point that out in you and help you grow in that. That's what I mean by validate. Heather and I have, we have a friendship that we've developed over the last couple of years. Someone we met here in town does not attend church here. We've invited her to come, but so far she hasn't. We encourage her as much as we can. When we see things in her life that seem strong and areas of strength and things that I think that we see that she's doing well, we try to encourage her in that. We try to validate her. She told me one time not long ago that she looks up to us like her parents. So she doesn't get that kind of behavior in her own family that much, which is kind of sad. She's not being validated at home, and even though she may not articulate it in those kinds of words, validation is what she's craving. I see this all the time when I watch baseball. I'm not much of a sports guy. You guys know that. When it comes to football or basketball, I watch one football game a year. It's the Super Bowl, and really I don't care about it either. I can't stand college basketball or pro basketball. I just alienated some of you. I know that. Close your mouth. Your mouths are open to shock. Can't stand it. I don't care. But I do enjoy baseball. And when you watch baseball, after I like to go to the Kansas City Royals games. Ronnie, thanks for representing today. When I go to a Royals game, you know what they always do after the game, right? They always take one player, somebody who had a spectacular play, or somebody who is consistently doing something well with the team, and they interview him on the field. And what does he always do? He says, "Yeah, well, that may be in a play that I have, but I couldn't have done it without him or without them." And he always passes on the credit to somebody else on the team or even the rest of the team. He's always passing that on. They're looking at those people who have believed in them, who have validated them. Every single one of us needs that kind of relationship. We're dying for that. And a lot of people go through life never experiencing that. So what do we look for when we're developing those kind of relationships? I think a good place to start is by taking a look at what the Bible describes as our spiritual gifts. When you become a Christian, the Spirit moves into your life and begins to develop what the Bible calls spiritual gifts in your life. There's a couple different places where it lists a lot of those. Every Christian is gifted in some way by the Holy Spirit, and it's always different. You don't have all the spiritual gifts, which is a good thing, because if you did, then you wouldn't need anybody. You're given a few gifts, or one or two gifts, and the Bible describes quite a few. There's a gift of exhortation or encouragement. Some people have the spiritual gift of teaching. There's service, there's leadership. We can go on and we can discuss a lot of those. Start looking for the spiritual gifts in the people around you, because part of their job as a Christian is to use those gifts for others. That's what 1 Peter tells us. 1 Peter chapter 4, where some of those gifts are found. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. Your job is to use your gifts, not for yourself, but for others, for everyone around you. So you look for those gifts in others. You validate them. You look for people who will see your gifts and encourage you, validate you in your own. That's how God works in the life of the body, by working through the relationships of one another in the body. And he uses the Holy Spirit in you, through you, to minister to others and to use them to minister to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is another place some of those gifts are listed. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Oh, great, Paul. Thanks for saying that, and so theologically that we can't understand it. So what I did was I looked it up in a different translation. You know you can do that, right? If something's confusing in one translation, grab a different translation and see how somebody else translated it and see what it says. So the New Living, that was the ESV, the New Living says this: a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Kind of clarifies it a little bit, doesn't it? God wants to display his power in you and through you to validate those around you. Let me summarize all of that in one kind of phrase and then ask a question about it. Look for someone who recognizes your unique contribution to the body and somebody who desires to bring out the best in you. Now here's a question. Do you do that for others? Second thing I think we need to develop is we need to look for people that God can use to improve you. It's different from validating you. While you might think you're the cash pajamas and that you've got everything all put together and everything's all figured out, every single one of us has blind spots. Every one of us. Every one of us has growth, has areas where growth is needed. So look for somebody who's willing to point that out to you in love. Okay, I've had some people point some blind spots out to me that didn't do it very loving. And guess how I received that? Not very well. You know their concern is to help you grow. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Because maybe it's kind of a no-brainer, but if you don't have somebody sharpening you, you grow dull. And I don't mean dull like boring. I mean, you don't have that edge. You grow dull spiritually. So pay attention to the people around you in your life. The relationships that you have are going to do one of two things. They're either going to pull you up or they're going to tear you down. There's not really any neutral ground here. People either build you up or they tear you down. And God wants to use people to improve you. So look for those kind of people. In my life, I've got a few really good friendships that I can see this very clearly. And my friend Eric, for example. Eric lives in Arkansas, and Eric and I, Eric has a joy about him that is contagious. And every time I'm with Eric, he smiles a lot, so I find myself smiling a lot. And then he's like, why are you smiling so much? I'm like, I don't know. I can't help myself. It's just weird. And because he's always smiling. Or Aaron. Aaron lives in Kansas. He's an encourager. He's my validator. Should have used him as an illustration for the last point, but he's my validator. And he wants to make me want to be a better encourager too. And there's a guy named Brian. Brian lives down in Springfield. He's brilliant. He is like literally the smartest person I know. And I feel smarter when I'm with Brian. I'm not sure why you're laughing at that. I need people to make me feel smarter. God uses people who will improve you. Proverbs 27, again, just a few verses before that one that we read a minute ago, says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the kisses of an enemy. That sounds kind of weird, right? Who would want to have a wound from a friend? Why is that better? Because you just got the truth from somebody who cares about you. They're telling you because they want you to improve, rather than being just somebody who's kissing up to you or telling you what you want to hear or just being mean about telling you things that wouldn't have an impact because they're saying it wrongly. I want to be around people who improve me. So let me summarize that. You look for people who make you better by being connected to them. And then ask yourself, are you that kind of person? Here's the third one. This is kind of where more of the spiritual dimension really, really kicks in. Look for people who will pray for you. Critically important, because this is the person who cares about your spiritual journey. This is the person that you can go to and you can say, I'm struggling with this. Can you pray for me in this? Can you hold me accountable in this? Can you help me here? Here are some things that are going on in my life. James chapter 5, James says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you might be healed. Because, he gives it a reason, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. And I wish I could explain how prayer works, but I can't. What I do know is that God listens. He hears our prayers. And what I do know is that God responds. He responds to people who pray. And I do know that when somebody in my life cares enough about me to say, I'm going to take your life and I'm going to intercede for you before the Father, on behalf of you before the Father, I know that I'm going to be different because I know that person has a deep concern for my spiritual journey because they're willing to talk to God on my behalf about things they see in my life. I mean, ask yourself the question, do you want somebody praying for you or not praying for you? It's like saying, do you want a donut or a kick in the head? You're going to take the donut every time, right? That was supposed to be funny. Nobody laughed at that one. Those three guys I mentioned earlier, they are on a very short list on an email prayer chain that I send out once a week with things that I know they will lift up to God for me. And one of them will text me every week while he's praying for me to say, hey, I want you to know I'm lifting you up right now about these things that you sent me. So here's a summary statement. Look for people who care about your relationship with God and want to journey with you. Because that's what the Christian life is. The Christian life is a journey, right? It's a walk. Paul describes it as a walk a lot of times. And it's not something that we can just be once and done and we've got it all under control and it's good. It's a journey. It's a progression. And then ask yourself, who around me is that kind of person that wants to pray for me? And am I that kind of person for others? I know I cheated there. I gave you two questions to ask, but I think you can handle that. Because as I kind of look around the room, and as I pay attention to the different people that attend Parkview, whether they're here this morning or they're not here this morning, I feel like some of us are running on empty. Not because you don't love God, not because you lack conviction, but simply because your heart is untethered. Life gets crazy. I get that. We face storms. We get busy. And we try to stand firm in the middle of that storm with nothing to hold us steady. And the truth is God did not design your heart to exist in isolation. He did not design you that way. Your heart needs anchors, not activity. We try to do that, don't we? Try to stay busy. Not applause. We try to do that too. We try to look for achievement so that somebody will pat us on the back and say, well done. We don't need activity or applause. We need anchors. We need relationships like the ones we've described this morning that validate, voices that remind you who you are in this world, of your failures, yes, of your successes too. Remind you, even as your own mind tries to rewrite your identity, because we need people who look at you and say, you're not alone, you're not crazy for caring about others, you're not too broken to be loved. And without that kind of presence, you know what happens? Shame grows. Did you pay attention to the lyrics of the song that we played right after communion? Shame disappears in the presence of Jesus. Shame disappears, hope grows. And when people around you are doing these things, when you're developing these kind of relationships, then something inside us begins to heal. We need people that validate us. We need people that improve us, the kind that refuse to let you settle for a smaller version of yourself, not critics who tear you down, but truth tellers who love you enough to challenge you, to sharpen you, to stretch you, to deepen you. Because honestly, I know this is true for me, so I suspect it's true for you. If left to myself, it's too easy to drift. It's too easy to justify what I'm doing or what I'm not doing, which leads to stagnation. But the right kind of people keep my priority, my eyes focused where it needs to be focused. with courage, with strength. And maybe most of all, we need relationships that pray for us. People who carry our name into the presence of God when we don't have the strength to carry it ourselves. When my faith feels thin, when my heart is tired, when I don't even seem like I know what words to say, someone who stands there and takes me before God on my behalf. We need that. And a heart that's anchored in these kind of relationships doesn't just survive. It becomes steady. It becomes resilient. It becomes alive. Because love that validates, love that refines, and love that intercedes is not just human support. It is one of the ways that God has designed us so that He can hold us close to Him. Did you catch that? There's a profound truth there. He has designed us so that the way I can stay, one of the ways I stay close to Him is through you. So how do we develop these kind of relationships? How do I build that into my life? Because I need that like I need water to drink or air to breathe. How do we get this? Let me give you a few things to think about. I put these in your notes so that you can take them home, so you can take some time to really consider this, and so you're not just really just glossing over it this morning as we talk about it for a few minutes, but you can take it and you can dwell over it. The first thing is you've got to evaluate these three characteristics in yourself. And there's probably more that we can identify through Scripture. So as you read and you find other things that quality relationships have, you can jot those down there as well. You can add those to it. But these three, particularly this morning, before you go looking for these from other people, hold the mirror up to yourself and say, do I validate others? Do I improve others? Do I pray for others? Those are the kind of things we need to make sure we're doing. Start there. Take a good look. And be brutally honest with yourself. Don't try to sugarcoat it. Don't try to lie to it, because what's that going to do? You're just burying truth you already know, so you don't have to face it. And second, it won't lead to any change. So be honest with yourself. Start there. Second, you make a commitment to look for these kind of relationships in others. You make a commitment to look for these kind of relationships with others. So many times we hear something that we need to respond to, but what we do is we just walk out of here and there's no change because we don't commit to making the change happen. So make a commitment. Think it through. Write it down somewhere. Tell somebody else about it so that they know as well. And then start actively looking for these kind of relationships. Three, identify a couple of next steps you can take. This list is full of next steps you can take, by the way, if you want to cheat. Look for a couple of next steps that you can take, that you can make an action plan to make this happen. I'll give you a few suggestions. They're there in your notes. So number one, you pray. You start. You begin with prayer. You're asking God to lead you to the right kind of people. And the second of all, you identify them. You start. You stop waiting. You start naming. You can't build powerful relationships with others if you don't be specific about who you want those relationships to be with. So find people that meet these characteristics, these qualifications, and write their names down. Say, I'm going to develop a relationship with this person because I feel like they would validate me. This person would improve me. Put two or three names down. And sometimes you might need to leave the space blank until you meet somebody that might fit that characteristic. That's okay. But start naming names so that you can grow. Step three is you initiate. Spiritual growth never happens passively. Take the step. Take the first step. So this week, look for a way to move beyond the surface with someone. Just take the first step. Step four is establish rhythms. Make it a habit. Make it routine. Healthy relationships are built on repeatable patterns. An emotional moment might be powerful in the moment, but it doesn't last. Patterns do. When you begin to develop these relationships, when you begin to share your wins and share your struggles, you watch each other for ways that you might be drifting, for what God might be teaching, for how you're growing. I had a relationship a few years ago with a guy that we have, in fact, I've got it in another Bible. I've still got the list. We had a list of 10 questions that we would ask each other, just how we're doing in these different areas. And when we lived in another location from here, we just would go through this list every time. And I still hear from him from time to time saying, how you doing in these things? We still keep up. Establish rhythms. Step five, kind of seems like a no-brainer to me, but practice. If you want to get good at anything, what do you have to do? You have to practice. I mean, there's a few people that are disgustingly good at everything they do the first time they try it, but those guys are, they usually want to make me want to throw up a little bit to myself, you know, because they're just so good at everything. Most of us have to practice. 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 Step six, protect the relationship. If there's no safety there, then that relationship's not going to thrive. Relationships like this are going to need some things like confidentiality and some honesty and some encouragement. And then number seven is you multiply this. What I mean by that is as you develop a few of these relationships, you start to find other ways in your life that you need other relationships that can grow, and you start to expand on that. You build more relationships. You multiply that effect out. And as you're formed, God will be using you to form others. Romans chapter 5 says a lot about relationships, and specifically about the relationship we have with God, that vertical relationship. Romans 5:11, Paul says, "We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation." Because that's where all this begins and ends. It begins with Jesus. We started with Jesus, summarizing the whole law. Love God, love others. Building quality relationships with others is important. But it begins by getting connected to Jesus. It begins with being reconciled to God, as Romans chapter 5 describes it. That's where you have to start. That's where you begin. You start by building a relationship with Him, and then you build the relationship with others because you're building it on the foundation of where He is in your life. He has got to be the first thing. That's community. And I can't tell you that everybody in this room is going to be perfect at doing this. But I can tell you that in this room, in the church, that should be the place where you find these relationships the easiest. Because we're all headed the same direction. We're all going the same way. My Sunday school class this morning, we looked at Philippians chapter 3, where Paul says to imitate Him. And I was reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul says to imitate Him. And I look at other places in some of Paul's letters, where he says, do this because this is what I'm doing. Not because Paul is anything spectacular, but because where's his focus? Where's he going? He's going to Jesus. And as we look around at each other, if we are going to build the community that He wants us to have, the relationships He wants us to have, we need to be able to imitate one another as we pursue Jesus together. That's what healthy relationships look like. And it starts with making that relationship with Him. We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning. And if you need a relationship with Jesus, today would be a good day to do that. To meet Him, to say, I want you to be the foundation of everything, to form the vertical relationships so that all my horizontal relationships can be based on that, around that, and because of that. And if you're looking for a place to plug in and build those relationships, today'd be a good day to decide, this is where I want to do that. Because I want to connect with people who are like-minded so we can grow together, so that we can become more like Jesus together. Let me pray for you, and we're going to sing a song of decision. Lord, I am so grateful that because of who You are, we have the ability to be reconciled with You. You do amazing things in redeeming us from ourselves, from the broken things of this world, from sin. And You want to form a relationship with us that overcomes that because of what Jesus did on our behalf on the cross. So we can talk about good relationships and loving one another and building community. But that happens because of who You are and what You've done for us. So help us to start there and to work on that relationship with You. But then help us to expand that as we develop relationships with one another, that we can do so in a way that we build relationships that encourage us and validate us and improve us, and that we can pray for one another. And we can do the same thing for those that we have these relationships with, so that we can all look more like Jesus better together. God, I know myself well enough to know that I can't do this faith journey that I'm on alone, that I've got to have people who are pouring into me. Lord, put the right people in our path that help us to grow, that we can help grow as we all look toward you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.